Welcome to the LeanZone.com podcast, where we discuss construction contracts, liens, and bonds. And now, our host, Alex Barthet.
Hello, everybody. This is Alex Barthet with the Lean Zone podcast. Today, we got a special guest, Robin Collier from Sprinklermatic, to talk about engineered life safety systems and the recent veto by the governor requiring the implementation of these ELSS systems. Robin, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and Sprinklermatic?
Okay. Sprinklermatic is a company that my father created 30 years ago, so 30 years in business. Our area of operation is Palm Beach through Dade County, and proud to say here in the next month we're starting an office over in Tampa. So expansion, growing, succession.
That's all good things. And do you see some of that expansion as a result of the governor's veto? I guess we should back up for everybody and tell them a little bit about engineered life safety systems and the recent veto that probably is going to create quite a bit of work for everyone in the sprinkler and life safety system business. You think that's going to happen?
You know, I think we're in a sit and wait capacity. You know, this is a long time coming. You know, its origins were 1997 when the fire marshals, state fire marshal passed legislation and the state statute requiring retrofit of all existing high rises. High rises are buildings that are in excess of 75 feet to the lowest level of vehicular access, so to the floor. And so these buildings were required to have full fire protection, full fire sprinklers. You know, and through Tallahassee and some of the condo lobby, some of those items were postponed. In some conditions, they were concessions made in 2000.
Yeah, postponed would be an understatement, right? I mean, think about how long ago it is, and now it's 2017, and we're just talking about the implementation.
20 years later, you know, and this is a long time coming. I mean, you know, we've put energy behind quoting some of these condominiums in the past, and as some of the changes happen as well, different concepts, different pricing, obviously. So, you know, where we are today, under an opt-out provision, the condos are now allowed to provide an ELSS. And an ELSS is essentially a report generated by an engineer, basically doing assessment of the building. I think there are about 12 key components to that assessment under four categories. And it's a scorecard, it's a report card. That report card generates deficiencies, and in part of that ELSS report, the engineer will make recommendations how to fix the building, how to remedy the building. It's it's a concession. It's not going to be perfect. You've got a building that was built under a different standard and with new requirements, and doesn't render that building unoccupiable. It just means, hey, we've got to do some things to fix it. Each engineer will come up with their grading scale, which is a format prescribed in the code, but the way that they get there would be individual to each one of the engineers.
And what are the major components of the ELSS system? So I think there's probably some fire sprinkler heads, but not full sprinklered, right? That's the big difference, right?
Yeah. So I mean, you know, they're measuring distance between stairwells, handrail, all sorts of different life safety components of the building, compartmentalization, fire ratings, fire alarm would be a big one, but the one that we're an expert on is the fire protection, right? So the fire sprinkler is the partial fire sprinkler, and that's an ambiguous statement because not only is it common areas, could be upgrades throughout the building, you've got different components, fire pumps, standpipes, water supplies, all of this being analyzed and under the definition of a partial fire sprinkler system. And I think that's really where we come in and really where we shine is our relationships with the fire marshals, being able to sit down, do a fair assessment of the building, and just really being able to negotiate on the condo's behalf. So our approach would be a minimalistic approach. I believe that would be the intent of the concession made by the fire department, meaning the partial fire sprinkler system, and just trying to be sensible and reasonable in that approach. We understand that it's going to be of significant impact to the people living in these buildings, basically creating a construction site where they live. And so to us, it's process, and that we're very process driven here. We've got a process for everything. Now we have a process for ELSS, and we're expressing that process to multiple condominiums that have called on us to better understand what the requirements are and kind of our approach. I think we take a unique approach, very systematic approach, and we're very schedule driven, meaning we don't want to get stuck in the building. There's several different contractors that will be working in that building, and at the end, all these systems come together and work as a life safety system. So it's imperative that we understand who the other team members are, who's going to be the conductor, right, of all these different trades.
Well, let's talk about that, because that's actually a really interesting point, which is you represent one piece of it, but there's going to be an engineer that needs to be involved, that needs to be ideally some owner's representative that's going to be the point person for the owner. But
they oversee the construction. Will they sign off on the work being installed? That's an important part.
Well, what about simple things like drywall, paint, finishes in people's units? How do you envision that happening? What are you hearing from people that you're talking to about how they try to solve that problem?
I don't think that they really understand that. I think that's really what they're relying on us and looking towards the engineer to try to take hold of. So really, you know, when we sit down with the client, we're asking for, you know, a meeting, first date, right? That's kind of the way that I describe it. We're just trying to get to know one another. I mean, I want to take a broom, I want to sweep the dust, the cobwebs out of the corner, I want to get them into the middle of the room, I want to be able to define exactly what we're doing, but equally as important, what we're not doing. We create a set of documents, we're doing an estimate, not a guesstimate. We're basically designing it by hand, and then we'll do a walkthrough, a formal walkthrough with the client, going through some of the problematic areas, defining some of the ceilings, where we need ceilings, where the existing ceilings we can kind of work through, what that impact would be. And then we try to create scenarios that we kind of role play, and we kind of go through those problems. And if I have an existing ceiling that I've got to install a piece of pipe and a head, well, that has a certain tolerance. And, you know, when we install that sprinkler head, it may not look aesthetically correct in that ceiling, or that ceiling that was created may not be able to conceal the piping that's required. You know, and that's what we're kind of running through, creating those scenarios so that they better understand where their liabilities are, because you're going to be working in someone's unit.
This episode is brought to you by the Miami Construction Forum. This invitation-only group of construction professionals of all sizes and trades meets monthly for an informal lunch-and-learn session on current topics of interest, from getting paid and safety to bonding and insurance. To see the upcoming topics and request your invitation, visit MiamiConstructionForum.com.
Yeah, so how do you envision the contract scheme between the owner, the engineer, the GC? So is your thought that the general contractor is best served to manage all the things that you want? Because you want to have a direct contract with the owner, right?
Absolutely. We want a direct contract with the owner. We want as much that we can control in our contract. We don't want to rely on people for our coring and things of that nature. You know, but what we do want to make sure is the ceiling patches, right? And so in some
because you can't close out the job until all of those other things happen, right?
Correct. So I got to create the openings, get the pipe installed. I actually have to do a rough and a pressure test. I'm going to terminate that sprinkler head within a ceiling. Then that's as far as I can go until these ceilings are patched. And a patch or a soffit or a new ceiling, it can require framing, drywall, mud, sanding and taping, finish painting, and caulking, right? No painting, no caulking allowed anywhere on the floor. Then I can come back. Then I can actually install my cover plates. Then I can call for a final.
So generally speaking, do you have some frame of reference about how many condos in the South Florida area, the Tri-County area, Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, are going to fall within the requirement to implement this ELSS ballpark?
You know, I heard several figures throughout the state. So, you know, for us right now, my list is about 285 opportunities. We obviously can't do every single one, don't want to do every single one For us, we're in a sit back and wait capacity. We're providing pricing right now through our process. And the reality is, you know, we only want to work with select clients, people that get it, right? That understand that process, that are going to help us march up the building and get out. We're really trying to provide concierge fire protection. And what that means to us is just that they understand releases of lien, right? So as simple as that, all the vendors that are providing pricing on a project, not only do they have to have releases of lien every month, regardless of whether they provide product or not, but to make sure that their insurance is up to date, and then times how many other people working in the building. So, and how's the bank going to release the money? How's the funding? You know, we understand the fire protection end of it. We understand the construction end of it, and we're dealing with non-construction savvy people. So really we need that liaison for us. Ideally, it would be the engineer, and we work with several on these existing high rises. We're opening up some of the, you know, the biggest buildings in town, and it takes a team, you know, and it takes a proactive team that's talking about the punch list in the beginning, right? How do we get out of here? Let's talk about that in the first meeting instead of 3 months before we're supposed to be opening up this building, and really understanding how we all get out at the same
time. So if I was a GC, right, and I have relationships around town with these existing condominium unit owners, and I recognize this opportunity, right? I've been reading online. I've looked in the paper. I recognize that ELSS is going to be a big deal. It's a big opportunity for everyone, folks in your industry, specifically fire protection, but at the same time for GCs. So if I was a GC, what advice would you have for me? And are you hearing from GCs wanting to partner with you to make this happen, because they need you as much as you need a GC to close out the job?
Well, I think, you know, everybody's super busy. I don't think the people that we are doing new construction with would even entertain the thought of getting involved. And I mean, the reality is you're dealing with non-construction related people, so it's very difficult.
What's the current deadline, as far as you understand it?
It's December 31st, 2019.
And that's when everything has to be done, right?
Completed, you know. And in some cases, we're dealing with clients that have hand-drawn drawings, and we're advising them, please, regardless of who you choose, just go ahead and at least get somebody converting those drawings to an AutoCAD basis. Not only do I need that as the basis of my design so I can start to lay out my sprinklers for engineered shop drawings to the city, but your fire alarm, your mechanical contractor, you know, your smoke control requirements, all these other trades are going to need this. So just go ahead and at least be moving in that direction, you know, acquiring your ELSS, interview your engineers, figure out who you're going to raise the kids with, right? I mean, that's what you're doing. You're creating a partner that's going to help you and be asking them, what is your process? What is your managed process? You're going to help us in the bidding process that we better understand the proposals. You know, for me, I'm handing out samples of what we'll be installing. In a lot of cases, the people that we're at least meeting with up front, they're not construction people. They don't understand what a concealed head or semi-recessed or sidewall.
I want to ask you one last question, which is completely off topic. But it goes to how you have said that you do things you do things differently. I saw on social media that you all posted on the first day of school that you told the folks in your office, your employees, that you expect them to take their kids to school and not show up to work. Is that, tell me why you did that and why you think that's important.
You know, it's important to me. I have three little girls, and I definitely was going to be walking them in for the first day. So for us, we preach exceptional lifestyle, right? So we want an exceptional life for the people around us, not only us as owners or leaders. We want that same thing for the people around us, and I think that really is what Sprinklematic's about. You know, you hear us say around town, family first, and we mean it. You know, the reality is we put this place, meaning this office, this work, in front of our families so many times so that we can provide the lifestyles for our family. It's our sacrifice for our family, I think that, you know, having done it this many years and having gone through so many people, we've been able to acquire 200 people that not only they didn't drink the Kool-Aid, that they believed the same thing. So we live by it, you know, and so we lead by example, you know, and it's modeling. It's how I teach my kids. It's how I live my life. And, you know, we own it. So.
Well, it's great to see because there's not a lot of folks out there. When I saw it on social media, I was a little surprised because it's not something that you hear about, not something that you see, because it has, you know, from a pure dollars and cents perspective, it has an impact. You know, people are not at work.
It's a bigger picture. It's a
correct.
You know, and I mean, the reality is, we wanted to take the uncomfortability out of it. You know, and you know, my father was a fire sprinkler fitter, and he didn't take me to work. You know,
didn't take you to school.
He didn't take me to school. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Right.
I got emotional there for half a second, but he didn't take me to school, you know, and it was because he had to be, and that was the old guard. For us, it's a different day, and it's a more compassionate relationship, and it's going to be more give and take, and there's going to be times that, you know, that they're going to be giving, you know, and when I need that, I'm going to look across the table, and I won't even have to ask. Well, they'll have honored me that way, and you know, when the car runs out of gas, those who jump out and help you push, those are the people you want around. Those are the people that are here. So that's what makes us different.
That's great to hear. I really want to thank you, Robin, for taking the time to talk to us about Sprinklermatic and Engineered Life Safety Systems. If someone wanted to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do it?
Robin@sprinklermatic.net is my email. The number here is 954-327-3686. You can contact us through our website, sprinklermatic.net, and we've got all sorts of stuff on social media that you mentioned, some side-by-side burns, a little bit about our culture, some of the training that we do. So I'd encourage everybody to take a look at that stuff as well.
Again, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
And thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the LeanZone.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or in your favorite podcast app. For articles, videos, and forums on this and other construction topics, head over to the LeanZone.com.